be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's pray, shall we, with these words open before us. Father, we believe that this book is no ordinary book. We believe that these are your words and that they are living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And we ask today that as we come, we don't come with a sense of kind of smallness about what's happening, but we come with a sense of bigness that as the Bible is opened, we hear you, the living God. And we want to come humbly, we want to come listening, we want to come seeking your help and your transformation. So Father, please hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. I brought a plant with me this morning, not because I'm a particularly plant-type person, but it's a really helpful picture for us this morning. Because a plant is meant to grow, isn't it? That's what it does. A plant is meant to, it's inherent to who it is, to grow, to get bigger, to get stronger. It is designed to grow. Now, in order to grow, boys and girls, maybe you've done this at school, what does a plant need if it's going to grow?
Water.
Yeah, it needs some water. Yep.
Sunlight.
Sunlight.
Soil.
Soil, yeah. Food. It kind of needs all the things that a living thing needs, doesn't it, to grow. It needs these things. And without those things, this plant will not grow. In fact, it will shrivel up and die. And if I left it here, which it will probably happen, if I left it here this week, by the time we come back next week, if I do not water it, if it does not get sunlight, it will shrivel up and die. Now, why is that a helpful picture? Because if you and I this morning are a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we are saved by our faith in him, then like this plant, we are meant to grow. Did you know that? That's inherent to being a Christian. You're not meant to sit in a pot and just stay the same. It is inherent to being a follower of Jesus to grow, to know him better, to grow, to be more like him. And actually, the New Testament uses this language all the time of growing. So in 2 Peter 3:18, it says that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's growing language for you and me if you're a Christian this morning. And in Ephesians 1:17, it says that we can grow to know Jesus better. That's the idea. We're meant to grow. It's a relationship. See, people think you're kind of just joining a club when you become a Christian. You're not joining a club. You're entering into a relationship with Jesus. And like any relationship, it's one in which you grow. You grow to know someone better. You grow to know what they're like. You grow to know what they like and dislike. And it's the same with the Lord Jesus. We are meant to grow like a plant in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. We're meant to grow to know him better. And that's why part of our church aim, which is on the screen here, is to grow to know him better. So we've got two parts of our church aim, which is what we're preaching over these two Sundays, just to kind of make sure we're all on the same page, we're all tuned up together in this year ahead. So last week we saw we're ambitious to grow, making Jesus known in Edmonton. But this week, you'll see the second half of our aim is that as we grow to know him better. Yes, we're ambitious as a church to get into this community and make Jesus known, but we're also ambitious as a church to grow. The two go hand in hand. We can't make Jesus known if we don't know him. Do you see the point? So we have to have both sides of the coin. And actually, with like this plant, there are certain things that you and I need as a Christian in order to grow. There's the food and the soil and the air and the water that as a believer we need if we are to grow to know the Lord Jesus. And this morning, that's where I want to dive into Acts 2 together. Because in Acts chapter 2, the part of scripture that we read together, what we meet there is a group of people who have been saved by the Lord Jesus. We saw that, didn't we? Just look at verse 41. Those who accepted his message, accepted the gospel, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now that is a big lot of people. And if that happened here, we would run out of room very quickly. But if 3,000 people, and please Jesus, would it happen in Edmonton? But 3,000 people were added to their number. Why? Because the gospel was preached and Jesus saved. But then look what happens to this group of people. Verse 42, they devote themselves to what? To growing. This is people who got to know Jesus as he saved them and now they want to grow to know him. Look at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves. Do you know what that word? It's kind of the ambition word we thought about last week. It's this idea of giving commitment to something. Once I read the training program for the Olympic rowers. You know, they got up at some ridiculous time, like 5 a.m, and they rowed for a few hours, and then they went and did some gym work. And if you watch the rhythm of this guy's life, you would see very quickly that these guys were devoted to something. Their whole life was channeled towards something by their rhythms, their life, what they ate. It was all pointing in one direction. They were devoted, committed. They were ambitious. And here, a group of people saved by Jesus, what are they ambitious for? What are they devoted to? They're devoted to growing, to knowing the Lord Jesus better. And maybe I can summarize the lesson for us this morning like this. To grow, we need to devote ourselves to a Jesus-filled community life. If you want to grow as a Christian, if you don't want to be a plant that shrivels up and dies and eventually kind of withers out, if you don't want to be that plant, if you want to grow to know Jesus, then we need to devote ourselves this year to a Jesus-filled community life. Now, why do I say that? Well, we use this word here in verse 42 of this word fellowship. It's not a word we use very often, but it means to share life together. It means to have something in common together. And a group of people saved by Jesus have something in common, which is that we are saved by Jesus. We have something in common, which is a person. A person we know and a person we love. And so to grow this year, if you want to grow as a Christian, grow to know Jesus, you have to, like this church here, devote yourself to being together as we do a Jesus-filled community life. Now that begs the question, doesn't it? What does a Jesus-filled community life look like? How is Silver Street Community Church going to be a Jesus-filled community in this coming year? And we see in Acts 2 that first of all it means this. They were a church that devoted themselves to learning from Jesus together. Learning from Jesus. When you get to know someone, you need to listen to them, don't you? So over this last year, a couple of us really have started to get to know each other. But I would not get to know some of you if I never listened to you. So if I wanted to get to know Samuel down here, my little friend Samuel, I actually know Samuel. But if I wanted to get to Samuel, I'd have to listen to Samuel, wouldn't I? If I did all the talking, then I'd never know what school year Samuel was in. I'd never know what football team he supported. I'd never know what games he likes to play. I'd never know that he got a new bike. Why? Because I wasn't listening. But if I ask him questions, if I listen to what he has to say, what happens? I grow to know him. Do you see that? And it's the same with the Lord Jesus. We will only grow to know him better as we listen to him, as we devote ourselves to the things he has to say, the instructions that he has to give for our lives. And how will we do that? Well, look again at verse 42. We'll do that as we, as a community, will devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, as we make an effort to learn from Jesus together. Who are the apostles? The apostles were 12 ordinary, unschooled men. Did you know that? That's what it says. That's how it describes them in chapter 4, just a couple of chapters on. They were ordinary blokes like you and I. They just had normal lives. They were fishermen and tax collectors, and they were just a ragbag bunch of people. But they spent time with Jesus. They got to know Jesus. He gave them a special authority to pass on the truth about Jesus. They were with him from the beginning of his ministry. They saw the cross. They saw him after he'd raised from the dead. They saw him ascend to heaven. These 12 men were given a very special job by Jesus, which is to pass on to people like you and I the truth about Jesus. They were to pass on to the new community of people saved by Jesus his instructions, so that we as a community would know how to live. That's what he's doing. These were 12 men. And that is the teaching, it is their teaching, that we have on the pages of the New Testament. So the book that you are holding in your hands is made up predominantly of the apostles' teaching. This teaching that this first church were devoting themselves to listening to. A Jesus-filled community will be one where the Bible is opened lots, because that is where we listen to Jesus. That is the apostles' teaching. That is where we see what Jesus has to say to us. And so maybe you've been coming to this church and you think, man, the guy at the front, he goes on a lot about stuff. You know, he takes nearly half an hour to explain the Bible to us. Well, do you know why we do that? Do you know why the predominant part of our gathering together is listening to the Bible? Because it's only as we listen to Jesus will we get to know Jesus. That's why we devote so much of our time to doing it on a Sunday morning. Why, when we send our kids out to their kids' work, do we not just send them out to play with toys or watch a movie? Why do we get a Bible open with them? Why do we teach them a Bible story in a way they can understand? Because it's only as they listen to Jesus will they grow to know Jesus. Why does our children's work on a Sunday afternoon revolve around the Bible, getting the Bible into the hearts and minds of the kids that come? Because it's only as they listen to Jesus will they get to know Jesus. Why are we encouraging you to try and read the Bible for yourself every day? Because we will only be a Jesus-filled community as we spend time listening to him. Will you devote yourself this year to listening to him? You see, here's the thing. Here's where it bites for us this morning. If we are to be a church that is committed to growing to know Jesus better, like a plant that flourishes, it means that we will have to devote ourselves to being in the places where the Bible is taught. Now that means that there are plenty of occasions in the life of this community where we can gather together, fellowship, to listen to what Jesus has to say. We can listen to the Bible as we gather on a Sunday. It means that perhaps some of us will need to be more motivated with our alarm clock on a Sunday morning. It might mean that some of us, when we get tired on a Tuesday, and that's how we feel, isn't it? You know, sometimes on a Tuesday, you've heard it today, John and Gareth said that when they get to the end of a working day, that's the last thing they want to do is come out on a Tuesday night. Now, maybe for some of us, it just means, well, no, I need to be where the Bible is opened, so I'm going to make sure that on a Tuesday I get here. It may mean for some of us this year that we need to shuffle routines and programs and rhythms around of our lives so that we can make an effort to be in the places where the Bible is taught. Now, I know, please don't mishear me, because I know there's a ton of reasons why we cannot get to some of the occasions. There's all sorts of health things sometimes. There's all sorts of reasons that come up in our life. So we're not kind of keeping a register. We understand that. But it's about our heart, isn't it? If we genuinely want to be growing this year, then we'll make an effort to be in the places where the Bible is open, because that's where we learn, that's where we listen to Jesus, and that's how we grow to know him better. And it's not just the community life, because it'll actually ripple down into our personal lives as well. Actually, you know, I'm going to speak personally for a moment, but I'm a family guy, I have children. What I want is for that desire to learn from Jesus to ripple down into my family life. And actually, it should be the same for you guys too, if you have families at home. How do we let learning from Jesus ripple down into the lives of our families? Do I get the Bible open at home with my kids? Do I pray with them? Do I help them at home? What about you as an individual? You may not have a family at home. But will you devote yourself this year? You see, a community life is only made up of the sum of the individuals, isn't it? And so we've got to be those devoted to learning from Jesus as individuals so that it then fills our community life together. Will you be devoted this year to learning from the Lord Jesus? Maybe you need to set an alarm 15 minutes earlier in the morning so that you can get up and read the Bible. Maybe in that 15 minutes you're going to have to say, no, I've got to get out of bed, because if I get my Bible back open in bed, I'm just going to nod off. Go somewhere where you're going to wake up. Get up a bit earlier so that you can study the scriptures, learning from Jesus together. Because you know that it's only as you open the Bible that you'll learn from Jesus. And you know that it's only as you learn from Jesus that you'll grow to know him better. And I want to say that there's no perfect church routine. Okay, if you're looking for the perfect church, one, you haven't come to the right one. And two, you'll never find the perfect church routine. Churches have to pick times to do stuff. You know, and we've picked a couple of times, a Sunday and a Tuesday. And I'm simply saying to us as a church this morning that we've got some occasions in the diary. And if you're serious about growing this year, maybe you have to devote yourself to being at those occasions where we will learn from the Lord Jesus together. Come on a Sunday. Come on a Tuesday if you can. Come on a Friday lunchtime if you're a lady. We do a ladies Bible study here at 1 o'clock. Is that right? Have I said that right? 1 o'clock on a Friday. Come along. Learn from Jesus together. So, they're a learning community. That's what it looks like. What do we look like if we're a Jesus-filled community? We'll open the Bible lots. We'll learn. But it also means that we'll be remembering. Now, what does that mean? Well, have a look at the verse. Because we'll be remembering the cross and resurrection of Jesus. You'll see there it talks about remembering. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. There's an expression we use sometimes, isn't there? That actions speak louder than words. You ever heard that expression? Boys and girls, you heard that expression?
Yeah, actions speak louder.
Yeah, that's it. Actions speak louder than words. Now, here's the thing about that. That I think there's an element of truth in that. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, there are a set of his actions, which we have in words, but there are a set of his actions that speak very loudly about how we get to know the Lord Jesus. And those actions are his cross and his resurrection. They devoted themselves as a community to remembering that Jesus died, that he gave his body for us so that we might be forgiven. And he rose from the dead, declaring him to be the Son of God with power. They devoted themselves to remembering that. Now why? Why would a community like us devote ourselves to remembering the cross and the resurrection, what this breaking of bread symbolizes? Not just because it's the place where we're forgiven. But I want you to understand this morning. The cross and the resurrection is the place where you see the character of Jesus most clearly on display. If you want to get to know Jesus, then you have to spend time remembering the cross and resurrection. Because it's at the cross of Jesus that you see the depth of his love and his compassion and his mercy. It's at the cross that you see just how just he really is. That he would bear the sentence for sin himself. It's at the cross that you see most brightly, most clearly, the character of God on display. And if you want to get to know Jesus, friends, we have to spend a lot of time remembering the cross and resurrection. We will never exhaust it. Some people think, oh, I get the cross. I get what that's about. Jesus died, you know, as a sacrifice for me. People say, I get the cross, but you don't get the cross. We don't get the cross. We get it a bit. But we will spend all of eternity marveling at the Lamb with scars in his hands. We will spend all of eternity marveling at the cross and the resurrection. And so you're never going to exhaust it now. And friends, as a church, if we're to grow to know Jesus better, we have to spend time remembering the cross together. And that's what this community devoted themselves to.
Got a question.
Can we hang back on that for a moment?
I heard he was pinned up on a tree, not a
cross. Well, I think that's the way they did it, was a tree, I think, with a beam. But we talk about that later, Pete. It's good. But we want to remember that. That's the occasion we want to remember. That he was, whatever it was, a tree or a cross or however they did it, whatever it looked like, he was nailed there. And we want to remember that because that's where we see how much Jesus loves us. That's where you see the depth of his eternal love for sinners like us. And to grow and to keep growing, we will be a community remembering this. It will be, okay, it's talking about the breaking of bread. That's the physical act of eating bread and taking the wine together. And we do that as a church family. In fact, we're going to do that next Sunday together. And we sometimes do it on a Tuesday night. That's important. But that's not the only way you remember the cross. Actually, the cross must be at the heart of everything we do. It must be at the heart of preaching. So whoever stands here and preaches to us must be preaching the cross. It must be at the heart of our songs. We must be singing about the cross. Why? Because that's where you're going to get most accurately the character of our Lord Jesus, what he's like, and get to know him better. It must be at the heart of our conversations. How do you help a suffering friend? You have a Saviour who suffered. How do you help someone who's struggling with injustice? You have a Saviour who was treated with injustice. It all centres around the cross. Do you see this? We remember the cross. That is what it will look like to grow. That is what a Jesus-filled community will look like. And so will you be devoted this year to remembering? Remembering Jesus. That's how we'll grow. And you do that not just as a community, although we want to do that, but you have to do it as an individual. You know, preach the gospel to yourself every day. There's a really funny comedy routine with this guy who gets up and says funny things to himself in the mirror in the mornings. But there's an element of having that helpfulness. When you get up and you look in the mirror in the morning, what do you need to remind yourself of the gospel? You need to say to yourself, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner in God's eyes, but I'm a sinner saved by grace, saved by the cross of our Lord Jesus. Remember the cross every day. Yeah, remember the cross. Because the cross will help you to grow to know Jesus better. To be like a plant that's flourishing rather than shriveling up and dying. So to be a Jesus-filled community will be, what's the first one?
Learning
will be, it's good, I'm glad you're awake. And the next thing we'll be doing is praying. My little TJ, she's getting into learning to write at the moment. She's just like prolific. She just sits at the dining room table with paper. You know, we get through stacks of scrap paper because she's just writing and drawing. But as she's going through this process of learning to write, every few seconds, if you're standing nearby, she goes, Dad, how do you spell this? How do you spell that? What is that? Is that a curly co or a kicking co? Is that, you know? And she goes through all these letters. She's just constantly asking. She's constantly engaging. What to ask?
Someone asking. She's yeah. Intelligent.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. So she is showing all the signs of dependence on the one who can help her. And what I want to say, actually, as a church family, is that we need to be a little bit like my TJ when it comes to our relationship with the Lord Jesus. We need to be like her in the sense of we're calling out to Jesus because that's how we grow to know him. We need to be saying to Jesus, you know, Dad, how do I spell? Although not literally, but we want to be doing that. I want to seek his help this year. I want to seek his guidance on what to do. I want to be depending on him for what we need as a community, responding to what we've learned in his teaching. One person calls prayer a conversation. So if our first one is learning, what does that mean? Well, we're hearing from Jesus. And then what do? Well, we respond back in prayer. We say, Jesus, you know, you've been teaching me this. Please help me to live it out. Please show me what you're like. Please guide me in what I've got to do this week. We have a conversation. It's a dialogue. Prayer isn't just rubbing a genie lamp and out pops Jesus and you get what you want. That's not prayer. Prayer is how we engage in relationship with Jesus. It's how we respond to what he teaches us. And it's how he engages in our life. It's how you gain your everyday experiences of Jesus. As he gives you peace when you worry. As he guides you and answers prayers, perhaps about little things in your life. From, you know, oh help, I really need a parking space, which he may not always give you. But, you know, help, I need a parking space and there it is. Or you get to the hospital and you want the key. Perhaps you're praying about, you know, you've got a pressure on you. And, you know, we all have these little answers of prayer. But what is that? That's Jesus engaging with us in our lives. Hearing our prayers. And as we do that as a community, as we reach out into this community, prayer is the way that we engage in relationship with Jesus. Prayer isn't just about getting what we want. Prayer is about getting to know Jesus better. And so if you want to grow this year, you need to devote yourself to being prayerful. We need to devote ourselves to being prayerful as a church, depending upon the Lord Jesus for all that he gives, for all that he is. And as a church, we want to give time to being a Jesus-filled community by praying. So we pray as part of our meetings like this. Not because we have to, not because it checks a box. Oh, you know, we've done the praying thing in church. That makes us a proper church. No, we pray because we have to. because we need to, because it's right to, because it's how we grow. Do you pray as an individual? Does your prayer life consist of just a few kind of sentences at the beginning of the day where you just ask for help for Auntie Bessie and you know, kind of getting out of the house on time, or whatever it is? Does it just consist of that, or do you actually engage with Jesus in prayerful conversation? Jesus, you say that you are that, you know, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. This situation is really hard. I want to pray about it. Do you engage in prayer individually? Because a community of Jesus-filled prayers will be made up of individuals who are praying, walking a life of prayer. Will you put effort into praying this year? Yes, as an individual, but please come and pray with us as a community. On a Tuesday night, John described one of our Tuesday night meetings. We pray together. We call out to our Lord Jesus together to help us, to help this community. We call out for individuals. We call out for countries. We pray. But we pray because we know that that's how we grow to be like Jesus. So, are you still awake? That's up to three. So, if we want to grow, we need to do learning. We need to do
remembering.
And we need to
pray.
Brilliant. Here's the last one. We need to be a praising community as well. So, just have a look at the verses there. Verse 46 and 47. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. Praising God. Now, there are lots of expressions of praise. Some people think it's just the singing bit. Some people think it's kind of this kind of mystical thing that happens. But praising, do you know what it really means? If I can summarize it like this, they talked about Jesus lots. That's what it meant for this local church. They talked about Jesus to Jesus. They praised him for how good he was. They talked about Jesus to one another. And they must have been talking about Jesus to the community around them. They praised God. And if we are to grow as part of a Jesus-filled community, then we will need to be people who are praising God. We'll need to praise him. We'll need to sing of him. We'll need to speak of how good he is. Jesus will be in lots of our conversations. You know, how many of us finish church and don't talk about Jesus again until next Sunday? Jesus should fill our conversations with one another afterwards. If you're going to help someone or pray with someone, then it should be Jesus that's on our lips. If you see someone in the middle of the week, do we ever ask them, you know, how's it going in your walk with Jesus this week? You know, how can I pray for you? You know, we want to praise. We want to tell people about how good Jesus is. We want to tell Jesus how good he is. And actually, a community that's growing to know Jesus here is a community that is praising him, glad because of what he's done. And our mouths are just overflowing with talk about him. Will we be a growing community this year as we praise Jesus? We get together to just tell Jesus how good he is. Will we be full of talk about Jesus with one another? Will you be devoted to him? Devoted to praising him this year? So to grow, we need to devote ourselves, give effort to, and it will take effort. We need to devote ourselves to being a Jesus-filled community. Learning from him, remembering him, praying to him, praising him. And can I just point out one last thing as we finish? Verse 47. It says there that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now what this must mean is this. That a growing community was clearly a going community. They grew to know Jesus better, so much so that they then went into their community to tell them about Jesus. Now, why can we put that together from Acts? Because we know that people are only saved as the gospel is preached. So they must have been going. That is Jesus' way of saving people. And here they are. They must have been going into their community because the Lord was adding to their numbers daily. They were growing to know him better so that they were better equipped to make him known in their community. You cannot go out and speak about Jesus with any sense of genuineness if you are not growing to know him better. You might be able to tell people a few facts, but there's a big difference of someone speaking about Jesus as they've grown to know him. If they are speaking from experience, if they are speaking about the everyday love and help and answers to prayer that the Lord Jesus gives. That is what adds weight to the gospel. That is what Jesus uses. And so church, we need to grow this year to know the Lord Jesus better. We do not this year want to be a plant that shrivels up and dies. Our purpose in being together isn't just to sip coffee together and keep one another company. Our purpose is to grow to know Jesus. And that will only happen as we devote ourselves to being together. To being together to learn from him, to being together to pray to him, to being together to remember his cross. And so, as I finish, I'm really not trying to have a go. I'm genuinely trying to get you to see from the scriptures that growing and being devoted to community life, Jesus-filled community life, is what we must do if we're to grow this year. And that is why our church aim is making Jesus known in Edmonton as we grow to know him better. We are ambitious. Ambitious to go, yes. But church family, we have to be ambitious to grow this year. And will you make it your devotion, your target, your commitment, your ambition to grow to know Jesus this year? For some of us, that's going to mean some really practical changes in our lives. For some of us, it will mean praying for a bit more motivation, individually or together as a church family. But let us make it our ambition to grow as well as to go this year. Let's take a few moments quiet, and what I suggest we do, perhaps just as we sit here, is maybe just pick on an area. It's easy to hear a sermon like this and to kind of walk away, but maybe there's something today you think, yeah, I really need to do this. I really need to pick up my Bible a bit more, because then I'll be learning from Jesus. I really need to make a bit more effort to be out with the church family. I really need to do this. Whatever it is, why don't you just pin it in your head? Remember to take it away with you. Why don't you take a few minutes quiet, and then we'll stand and we'll sing together.